Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
I believe.
I have what it say I have.
I believe.
I am what it says I am.
I believe
I can do what it say I can do.
Today I will be taught
the Word of God.
I confess that my mind is active and alert.
My heart is receptive.
I receive
the incorruptible,
ever-living
Word of God.
I will never be the same.
Never,
never,
never be the same.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless all of you. I'm so glad to be here in this Resurrection Sunday. And I believe that you are blessed today already. And you will be blessed even more. Amen. Are you glad that our God is alive? Are you glad that we don't worship the dead God, but our God is alive? That's why we can face tomorrow. I'm glad that we worship the living God. Today, I want to talk to you in a little bit here about what resurrection of Jesus Christ means to us, you and me, in year 2005. What significance, what impact does the resurrection of Jesus Christ have for all of us? So today I want to share this truth from the Bible so that the resurrection of Jesus Christ will affect our life in a positive way. Amen. But before I share how the resurrection impacts all of us, I would like to explain to you first about the day that Jesus Christ was arrested and was brought to the cross. And right now I want to paint a picture to all of you. Let all of us have an imagination with me right now of what happened on that last day. You need to understand that day, a lot of Roman soldiers were surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to explain the situation before he was hanged on the cross and what happened after he was hanged on the cross. That day, Jesus was surrounded by the soldier and his back was very bloodied and bruised because they whipped him with lead whip. I want to read the Bible from John chapter 19, verses 1 to 5. Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The whip is not just leather, but the tip has very pointy lead. And the soldiers made a crown of long, sharp thorns and put it on his head. And they put a royal purple robe on him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they mocked, and they hit him with their fists. Pilate went outside again and said to the people, "I am going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said, "Here is the man." You can see here that one of the soldiers proudly come to Jesus with the crown of thorn. You need to understand, at that time, this crown of thorn are not just a little thistle that you saw in the book in the Sunday school. These thorns are about 2 or 3 inches long, very sharp, very strong. And this soldier, with all his might, just thrust that crown of thorn on his head. Boom! Like this. So imagine with me that the thorns, those long thorns, just rip into his scalp, and tear the skin. And the pain just spread all over the body. Imagine how you would feel if you were Jesus, that the crown of thorns put into the scalp, and then began, the blood came out. The blood will mix with his sweat. His face would fill with blood that we saw in the movie a while ago. And that blood came from the perfectly innocent man. Jesus was the perfect man and the perfect God. But he shed his blood from his crown, from his scalp. He did not do anything wrong, but the blood came down. Amen. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible said, then God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Jesus went about doing good, healing the sick, comforting the oppressed, delivering people who are brokenhearted. He did all the good things while he was walking on earth. He was even raising the dead. But the people shout crucified him. He was a spotless and sinless Son of God. He did good. He never made anything wrong. But people hated him and people crucified him. Then all of a sudden, this soldier came and ripped off his clothes, leaving him standing with bare body, only the loincloth on him. You can see that it was very humiliating. And then they put the robe of purple upon him. You need to understand the robe of purple, the purple robe represent the robe of dignity that they put on the highest rank soldier of the Roman army. So they put on him to humiliate him, to ridicule him, to mock him, to really make fun of him and say, hail the King of the Jews. Live long life, the King of the Jews. What can we serve you more? They just bowed out to him and mocked him. Imagine with me what happened that day. And then the Bible says in Mark chapter 14, verse 65, then some of them began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, hit his face with their fists, and then they say, who hit you that time, you prophet? They jeer, and even the guards were hitting him as they led him away. Now, the mockery turned into violence. They spit on him, they mocked him, they hit him with their fists, and they really gave him a hard time. You can see that what Jesus went through here. I tried to paint the picture, what Jesus had to go through. But the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. In order to appreciate, in order to understand the significance of resurrection of Jesus Christ, we must understand the suffering, the shame, and the humiliation that Jesus had to go through for all of us in this room. He had to go through this for all the people, all the sinners in the whole world. Jesus, in fact, as God, he could just blow them away. He just say one word and they would all die. But Jesus said, like this, he prayed, Father in heaven, if you could you take this cup of suffering from me? I know you could, but not my will, but your will. Jesus was willing to go through all this suffering. He was willing to offer his life as a sacrifice for our sin. And you know the story. At around noon, he was brought to the mountain, Calvary, and nail, 2 to 3 inches long nail, was piled into his hand, into his feet, and they put him up on the cross. Oh, the Son of God loved us so much that he... the skit is still around. You know, the Son of God loved us so much that he died for us. Amen. So today, I want to tell you the significance of resurrection. Do you see the picture how Jesus loved us? Yes. Do you see the picture how much Jesus loved us? So the first thing I want to share with you, how resurrection of Jesus Christ means to us and have significant impact on our life. Look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the assurance and the confidence that our sin have been forgiven. On the cross, a couple hours after he was hanged on the cross, the Lord Jesus crying out, Father in heaven, why have you forsaken me? The Father in heaven turned his face away from Jesus because the sin of all the whole world was on the life of Jesus Christ, was on his body. Father could not see it. The Father turned away. And Jesus, the first time in eternity, that his relationship with the Father was cut off because of the sin of the whole world. He was rejected. He was forgotten by God, by the Father, for a few minutes at that time. He was forgotten so that we will not be forgotten. He was rejected so that we will be accepted by God. Jesus paid a price for us. He paid a price. He died on the cross so that God will accept us despite our shortcomings, despite our sin and failure, despite our mistakes and errors. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, He died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous, the innocent for the guilty, so that He could make a way that we could come safely and freely to God. Jesus died so that as sinner we can come freely to the Father again. Jesus said in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Matthew 27, 50-51, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn into two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. Thank God, Jesus was bearing the sin of you and me. He was bearing the sin of the whole world. And on that same Friday, around 3 p.m., he lifted up his head and said toward heaven, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. In fact, if you notice carefully, no one killed Jesus. He gave up his life. He gave up his spirit. Amen. Can you imagine? He could raise the dead. He didn't have to be dead up there. He could just jump out from the cross. He just rip off all the nail and he can heal himself. And he has no even scar on his body. But he gave up his spirit willingly. He was willing to die. He was willing to give up his life. And the Bible says at that moment, what happened? The sun stopped shining. The darkness came into the world. The earth was shaking. The rock was split open. Why? Because the earth that Jesus created revolted when it lost the one who created it. The earth was crying out, my creator was killed on the cross, was hanged on the cross, and he gave up his spirit. The earth tried to tell the whole generation that everyone, including the soldier at that time, you remember the soldier say like this at that time, wow, this man was really the son of God. Because they saw all the miracle happen. Surely he was the son of God. And at that time, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, the veil was split, was torn from the top to the bottom. Thank God the veil was not split or torn from the bottom to the top, so that people cannot say that human was doing it. Because no one can reach up to the top first. But it was torn from the top to the bottom. This is about 6 inches thick veil between the holy place and the most holy place. You need to understand that at that time, the Spirit of God or the presence of God was not in human being yet. At that time, the Spirit of God was confined only in a room we call the most holy place. And that room was surrounded by a big, very thick curtain or veil. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn by the power of God. It's a miracle. Amen. It's a miracle. The Spirit of God came out from that secluded area, that sacred area. And now the Spirit of God wants to live on the inside of His people. You and I become a temple of God. Thank God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has made us become the temple of God. That the Spirit of God can live on the inside of us. He died once for all so that we can have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. You need to understand that in that room, it was very critical that once a year, the high priest would bring in the blood of the bulls or the lamb or rams. Once a year only. And he has to go into that room. I heard the story that when the high priest went in there, they put the rope in his feet, so that on his leg, so that if something happened to him, they can drag his body out. Because no one could enter into the presence of God at that time. The ceremony, he would go in and pour the blood of the animal on the mercy seat to ask for the atonement or for the paying of the price of the sin of himself and the sin of the whole nation of Israel once a year. Every single year, the high priest have to ask for forgiveness of sin, the atonement of sin of the whole nation. By the blood of the bulls or of the rams. But thank Jesus. On that day, when he died on the cross and he came back to life, that veil was torn. And we don't need to kill the bulls anymore. Because Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. He died once for all. We don't need the high priest human being anymore. But Jesus Christ was the high priest himself. He forgave the sins of the whole world. He died once for all of us. Amen. So Jesus have brought the presence of God into our life that we can approach Him. God doesn't live in the building anymore. Thank God. We can have revival anywhere in the world, even in the field. We don't need a church building to have revival because the Spirit of God is on the inside of us. But notice one thing. God showed me this. It's interesting that all these thousands of years, the Jews have to do this ceremony once a year, the high priest. And the presence of God was behind the curtain. But on that day when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn. It means that no more Holy of Holies, no more ceremony of the pouring blood on the mercy seat. Then the question come up, if no more of such thing, how can you and me get the forgiveness of sin? Blood has to be shed. Is that right? Because the penalty of sin is death. It's about losing blood. Death. So the blood has to be shed. But no, now the high priest could not bring the animal blood to go into that room anymore. What happened then? After the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. Look at what the Bible says. I show you something here. In John chapter 20. Verses 16 to 17, Mary, Jesus said, she turned toward him and exclaimed, "Teacher, don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." John chapter 20 described the account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb area and thought that his body was stolen. Then Jesus showed up. The resurrected Jesus showed up. Mary thought that Jesus was the gardener. So she said to Jesus, who thought that he was a gardener, "Oh, do you know where Jesus' body is? Could you tell me? I want to go and anoint him." And what happened? Jesus said, "Mary." He just said one word. And then Mary recognized his voice. By the reaction, by the human reaction, Mary was so glad to see the resurrected body of Jesus, the man who has come back to life. She wanted to jump in and touch him and hug him. But Jesus said, no, don't cling to me. This is amazing. Because many days later, Jesus asked Thomas to touch him. He was sitting in the dining table with people, eating with people. People can touch his body. But why that moment Jesus did not allow Mary Magdalene to touch his body? I believe for two reasons. Number one, because he wanted her to hurry to go to tell the disciple. No time to hug right now. Go tell the disciple the good news. Second reason, because Jesus, the Bible says, had not gone to heaven yet. In other words, he's still carrying the holy blood inside him for the redemption of all of us. He has to go to heaven first. That's what the Bible talks about. He went to heaven for 3 days, for a few days, and then put the blood on the mercy seat in heaven. You need to understand that the pattern of the temple or the tabernacle that God told King Solomon or told Moses to build is the same pattern as the temple in heaven. There's a mercy seat there, but Jesus Christ went up to heaven and poured his blood on that mercy seat in heaven. Once for all, for the redemption of our sin. Let me read the Bible here. This is the good news. Amen. How many people love to kill animal? I don't want to kill animal. I don't need to kill animal anymore because Jesus Christ went up to heaven and he used his blood. Not the blood of the bulls, not the blood of any ram, but his own blood. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7 and 11 to 14. But into the second part, mean the most holy place, the high priest went alone once a year. I explained to you a while ago. Not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Now look at verse 11, compared to Jesus. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands. In other words, tabernacle in heaven, not man-made tabernacle. That is not of his, of this creation, not of this world. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all. Everyone say, once for all. Once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The Bible says that after Jesus came back to life, he was not on the cross. He was resurrected. Then he took his own blood. He did not go to the temple made by man, but he went to the temple of God in heaven, and he presented his own blood on the altar. Once for all, for the redemption, not only short-term redemption, but the eternal redemption of all men. Are you glad? That's why I'm so excited about Resurrection Sunday. The good news about Resurrection Sunday is that God himself, the Father, accepted gladly, joyfully, the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ for your eternal redemption. Amen. There is no sin in your life anymore that can drag you to hell. He washed all the sin away. You don't have to be burdened by sin anymore. The price has been paid. Is that the good news? Somebody died for you, shed the blood for you. You can see here that the Bible says that he obtained an eternal redemption for our sin. One translation says like this, an eternal release from our sin. So once for all, you don't have to do once a year anymore. Thank God you don't need a high priest on earth. God, Jesus Christ, is the high priest himself. We have been eternally redeemed, not by the blood of the bulls and the goats, but by the blood of the Son of the living God that he poured on the mercy seat in heaven after he was resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. Let's give hand to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Nothing is better than that. This is the best. You cannot get anything better than this. Amen. The good news is that we don't have to go to hell. The good news is that we can be in heaven forever because our sin have been forgiven. What we need to do is to repent and receive Jesus Christ into our life as our Lord. But you say like this, Pastor Lau, you don't know about me. You know, I have lived a wrong life for a long time. I have committed many bad sins. You don't know about me. I don't think God can help me. But I want to tell you the good news. There is no sin that you have ever committed or you will commit that cannot be forgiven. Every sin of human being can be forgiven and wiped out by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you may say like this, but Pastor, I'm too far gone. I'm too far deep in sin. God would not have anything to do with me anymore. Listen, friends, the Bible says that Jesus Christ cleansed all of us from all. Everyone say all. Unrighteousness. No single type of unrighteousness that Jesus Christ could not forgive us. Amen. So no matter what kind of sin you commit in the past or will commit in the future, God Himself can wipe out those sins. Thank God. You know, I studied the Bible and find out that the word atonement means pay for somebody, which means to cover. In the old covenant, we are covered. The people in Israel, their sin was just covered by somebody pay for them. But thank God, we are in a new covenant. Our new covenant is not just to cover, but to wipe out, to put away completely, to wash away completely, not just cover. Amen. Are you glad? Let me show you the Bible. Where do I get that from? In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23 to 28. I'm going to read from 24 on to save some time. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the age, he has appeared to put away. Everyone say, put away. Put away. Sin by the sacrifices of himself. We are not covered anymore by the blood of animal. But the blood of Jesus washed away. I want to say like this. All our sin have been eradicated, have been erased totally. Amen. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm excited about talking about this because I thank God for that. I want to say like this. If we want to say another way, God has cleared our records. Have you been in debt before? That the creditor come after you and say, hey, you owe me $10,000. And suddenly, the creditor tear the paper, say, I clear your record. You are not in debt anymore. Wipe out completely. Wash away completely. Amen. You may think that, oh God, I have done so many things wrong. I have skeletons in my closet. I hide those sins. People don't know. But I want to tell you right now, no matter what kind of sin you have committed and will commit, the blood of Jesus Christ can wipe them out. Make it clean. Amen. Amen. Like as white as snow. He washed away. Thank God. And God say like this, I remember your sin no more. In Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12, the Bible say, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. He wiped out. He don't even remember. You cannot even remind God. Amen. Don't try to remind God of your sins. He doesn't remember. Amen. Hallelujah. He doesn't have the memory deficit like some patient. But he just purposefully wipe out all of the memory about your sin. Thank God. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 17. He added, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. My dear brother and sister, this is the problem. That sometimes it's hard for us to forgive ourselves. God has already forgiven us. God has already wiped out. He cleared the record. He doesn't remember your sin that you did yesterday when you repent and ask the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you tend to remember and you don't forgive yourself. I want to encourage you today, please forgive yourself. Amen. If God forgive you, can you forgive yourself? A lot of time we are living in condemnation. We are living in guilt. We feel guilty, and then one of the person in the world that like to bring that guilt back to you, that shame, that unworthy feeling, that condemnation, his name is Satan. Satan is very good in doing that job. Amen. And I hope that many of you don't try to help him. I notice sometimes husband and wife in the church come to me with the counseling and say, like this, Pastor, you don't know what my wife did to me 10 years ago. Oh, you are helping the devil to dig out all the memory. Don't remember the sin that she did. Every single day, the blood of Jesus Christ wipe out all the sin. Amen. If you hear the voice like this, or somebody come to tell you and say like this, oh, you remember that day you did this? Last year you did this? I tell you that is not a voice from the Holy Spirit. That is the voice from the devil. Don't be an instrument of the devil to tell people about their mistake last year, last month. Forget about it. Move on. Amen. Don't bring condemnation. If you do that, you are following the father of lies, because the devil is the father of lies. Amen. Don't let your past bother you. Move on. Forget the past. Forgive yourself. Move on with your life. Amen. Because the blood of Jesus Christ once for all already washed away your sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So every time the devil reminds you of your past mistake, every time people come to you and accuse you and bring the old mistake you made last year, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, you say like this in your heart, I rise up. I pray to God. Father, thank you that Jesus Christ, once for all, put away my sin. He cleared my record already. Thank God for your forgiveness. I'm not going to live in the old life. I'm not going to remember my old sin. You forget my sin. You don't have any memory of my sin. I'm going to move on with my life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Don't stay there in depression. Don't stay there in despair, in guilt, in self-condemnation. But forgive yourself and move on, because Jesus Christ has already washed your sin away. Amen. Don't let the devil torment you with that feeling of guilt and unworthiness. Amen? Amen. Your sin, past, present, and future, have been wiped out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That's the first thing that the resurrection of Jesus Christ means to us. The second thing, I want to say this. Resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us the confidence and the assurance that we can go to God directly for ourselves. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. I read only 19 for the sake of time. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, mean the most holy place, the inner room where the presence of God is, by the blood of Jesus. Jesus hung on the cross. He died. He gave up his spirit. Then the veil was torn from the top down to the bottom. Then he brought his blood to the heaven and poured on the mercy seat. And now he says, everyone, every human being can approach God himself or herself. You don't need intermediary. You don't need to come to the pastor to talk to God for you. You don't need to go to any priest to talk to God for you. You don't need to go to Virgin Mary to talk to God for you. You don't need to go to St. Peter, St. Paul, and talk to God for you. With all due respect, I love Virgin Mary. I respect Paul and Peter. But I believe that if Virgin Mary and Peter and Paul were standing in this room right now, they would say the same thing to you. Don't come to me. You can talk to God directly. All of us can talk to God directly. We can offer our request to God directly. You don't need to come through another man. Amen. Yes, it's nothing wrong to ask somebody to pray with you and pray for you. But you can talk to God directly every morning, every afternoon, every late morning, every evening, every night. You can wake up and talk to God. You don't need a middleman. Amen. You can come to God in the name of Jesus. You can live in the presence of God, in the protection of God, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, we have confidence. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away. Number two, we all can have a personal relationship with God. You know, my job is not to get you to be stuck with me. My job is not make you to depend on me. My job as a pastor is to get you to know God so that you can go to God yourself. Amen. I'm not going to build this church to make people depend on me forever. Amen. You need to go to God yourself. You need to cry out to God. You pray to God yourself. Read the Bible yourself. Don't only depend on the pastor. Amen. The third one. I like this third one too. How many people want to hear the third one? The third significance of resurrection. The resurrection gives us the confidence and the assurance that we have power and authority over the devil and demonic forces. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. When I was young, I was very afraid of darkness. I was afraid of ghosts and evil spirit. When I was really young, like about 5 to 13, 14 years old, I have to sleep in a room with my light on, with the light on. And my dad was upset with me because he wanted to turn the light off to save some money. But I keep putting the light on because I don't like darkness. I don't like to go to around cemetery because I was afraid of ghosts and evil spirit. But thank God, after I come to know Jesus Christ, I know now that I have power and authority over any demonic forces, over any devil, any darkness, because I have the blood of Jesus Christ in me. I want you to imagine with me right now, okay? Let's just imagine right now. At that time when Jesus was hung on the cross, and Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, why have you forsaken me? I give my spirit to you. And suddenly, you saw it in a movie a while ago. That movie was quite good. They make it quite biblically. Jesus just gave up his spirit and like this, zoom, and he died. He gave up his spirit. I believe that at that moment, the devil and all the demonic evil spirit in hell have a good time. They have a victory celebration, like they have a celebration in the locker room after the Super Bowl. They put up high five to one another. Hey, good, we have fun, we win. And they jump up and down and dance and having fun together. And then the devil will say like this. Satan will say, oh, we did it. We did it. We killed the Son of God. We are in control now. Are you glad you follow me? Are you glad that you came out from heaven and follow me, one third of the angel? Oh, we did it. Now we are in control. The Son of God is gone. Suddenly, one demon in that party looked up. And I need to show you. And then he saw a man from far away in the white cloth walk, come in with boldness and without any fear. That man walking, and this demon say, "Who? That is not our group. He is not in our group. He doesn't celebrate with us." And those demons say, "Who is that man far away? We don't see him." And suddenly the man came closer, and everyone said, "Ah!" They cry now in terror. The Son of God came back to life and deal with them now. They all run. run away. And the devil will say like this, oh, you're going to be in trouble, Jesus, because I have all the demons around me going to get at you. And Jesus say, you have no match with me. I am an undisputed champion. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil was defeated completely. Jesus say like this, you have knocked me down, but you have not knocked me out. I came back. Hallelujah. And he came back to get rid of the devil, to really give a hard time to the devil. Good vs. evil. Amen. Holiness vs. filth. Amen. Jesus has come back to life. Satan has no match with our champion. His name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, having disarmed principality, mean demonic and evil forces and powers, he make a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And he put all things, Ephesians 1:22, he put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things in the church. Jesus crushed the head of the devil. And the devil is under our feet. We know why? Because we are the body of Christ. Amen. If Jesus crushed the head of the devil like this, let everyone try to do this. Crush the head of the devil. Amen. Amen. Crush the head of the devil. And he is under our feet too, because we are the body of Christ. We are his feet. Amen. And his body. Amen. Forever defeated. Forever. Amen. He was dethroned. He was demoralized. He was polarized and rendered him to powerless. Amen. One of the scriptures say like this, Jesus make him to naught. Satan to naught means to zero. Our Jesus Christ is everything and Satan is zero. Everyone say, my God is everything. But Satan is zero. He's nothing. This is not about a split of decision. It's not like one side say this, another side say another way. This is unanimous. Yes, it's a difficult word for me. No split decision. It's clear. He win. He's gone. Amen. He is overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. He doesn't, no more defeat than this. This is it. Eternal victory. Amen. Forever settled. Amen. Hallelujah. He is the King of all kings. Jesus is the Lord of all lords. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is the best. We have victory over the enemy. Amen. That Friday afternoon, many people put him, bound him, wrapped him in the tomb. And that the devil say that I use my best strategy to get rid of Jesus. But the best of Satan cannot stop the power of resurrection of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you need to understand the best of the scheme of the enemy cannot stop the Lord Jesus Christ who is living on the inside of you. Amen. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. This is the good news. This is the good news. You don't need to live a life of fear, of misery, and darkness anymore. You don't need to be scared to death anymore of misery and darkness. Amen. Yeah. I want to tell you right now, if you walk by faith, you understand your position. That's why before we preach this sermon, I say to you that we have what the Bible say what we have. We do what the Bible say we do. Amen. You remember I say that? I asked you to confess. Because right now, when the devil sees you, he's so scared. He's scared to death. You know why he's so scared to death? Because he saw the blood of Jesus Christ all over you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed you, protect you. He cannot touch you anymore. But the problem is that many Christians are so ignorant and let the devil take advantage of them. What you need to do? You need to understand that Jesus dragged his neck and throw him into the corridor of hell. You already won him. You are his body. What you need to do is this. Submit to God and resist the devil. The Bible says in James chapter 4 verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You have no business of living a life of fear, of defeat and misery. Some of you are waiting for God to do something for you when the devil attack you. But God say, I have done already. What you need to do? Let me teach you this. This is important. You know, sometimes people, when they get into problem, they just say, God, when are you going to help me? When are you going to help me? I stopped doing that. Now, I learned a lesson that I need to exercise my authority. I just, instead of sitting like this and feel sad for myself that the devil attacked me, I rise up in faith and said, devil, I submit to God. Get out of here in Jesus' mighty name. And always happened that way. Amen. When I first came back from Thailand, I got attacked by Bell palsy. My face was weak because I lack of sleep. And I, as a doctor, I know that Bell palsy will last about 6 weeks. I rise up in faith and say, in Jesus' mighty name, this sickness must go away from me. In 3 days, my face came back to normal. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I rise up. Amen. Let's practice. Let's practice. Rise up. Okay. You're going to rise up? One, two, three. Rise up! Okay, now stand there. Stand there. Rise up and stand there. And say, I submit to God.
I resist the devil.
He will go away from me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can sit down, please. I just want you to learn how to do this. But not, you don't need to do this in your physical body. You do it in your spirit. Amen. Because you may be doing, like, for example, I may sit, do performing surgery, and then I stand up and say, in Jesus' name, and people would think I'm crazy. Amen. You'd rise up in your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to exercise our authority. We need to know our power that God gives to us. Amen. Start resisting the devil. And don't let him step into your house, into your life. Amen. Amen. So, three things today we learn. I want to conclude this sermon. Number one, resurrection gives us the assurance that our sins are forgiven and washed away. Once for all, by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't need to live in guilt. You don't need to condemn yourself. You can live a life of holiness by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the resurrection gives you assurance that you all can approach God directly yourself. You don't need any middleman. You don't need any priest or any pope. Or you don't need to go to the picture of Virgin Mary to pray to somebody, to God. You can go to God directly. Number three, we learn the resurrection gives us assurance that we have power and authority over the devil and demonic power. Now all these things that we say is not going to be beneficial to you unless you walk in the light of them. Even though Jesus died on the cross to pay for the sin of the whole world, but many people still go to hell. Why? Because they don't want to accept that gift from God. The key is this, that you don't just learn in knowledge here what the good things that Jesus did to you. You need to receive what he did for you by faith. You need to say, God, I received your forgiveness. God, I receive the relationship that you opened to me through the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I received your power and authority. You need to make a decision to get right with God. Get serious about God. Go to church every time the door is open. Read the Bible. Pray to God. Walk with God. Serve God. Take serious. Walk in the full revelation of what God has done for you. Don't just have a head knowledge here, mental assent. Is believing up here, but never walk on the inside here. Jesus is the victor. Jesus is a champion. And the devil is under our feet. Walk in it. Don't let him threaten you. Don't let him step into your life. Kick them out. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus is our undisputed, undefeated champion of all time. Proven by his resurrection happened 2,000 years ago. Are you glad that your God is an undisputed champion? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We have the champion that we can follow. His name is Jesus. Yes. This morning, I would like to invite many of you. But first group of people I'd like to invite, if you never really have Jesus come into your life to be your God, this is a good time, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, that you can say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you today. A second group of people, you feel that God is so distant from you. You feel that you are not worthy enough to talk to God. You don't feel that you are good enough. I want to tell you right now, you are not good by your own anyway, by your own goodness. You are good because of God's grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. If today you say, God, I want to have a deeper relationship with God. I have been a Christian already, but I rarely pray. I rarely trust God. I want to trust God more. I want to encourage you to do so. And the third group of people, you say, all this time I did not know that I can rise up in my spirit and use my authority to fight against the devil. And from now on you say, God, help me. I'm going to have faith that I have power and authority to fight against the enemy. You can command it yourself at home. You can command the devil to go away from your life. It's not pray, okay? This is not pray. Commanding. You know? Using your authority. Not just praying to God all the time. A lot of Christians just pray to God, God, then you're going to help me. No, you command. You use your authority to fight against the enemy. If you are those people too, I want to encourage you to make a decision today that God, from now on, I'm going to use my authority that I receive from you, and I want to fight. I want to be a victorious person like you. I believe that you disarm, you demoralize, you polarize the enemy already. I'm going to live a victorious life. Sickness cannot be in my body. I'm going to live a long life. My kids going to be well. They're going to serve God. Whatever the enemy tried to do to me, no problem. I'm bigger because Christ is living on the inside of me. Amen. Amen. If you are this three group of people, could you please stand up and we like to pray together. Pray together. Amen. Stand up. If you are in this three group of people, if you cannot stand because of some reason, you can sit and God know your heart anyway. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stand up and we can pray together. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I would like to lead you in prayer first. Those who want to invite Jesus into your life, receive the forgiveness of sin, washing away of the sin by the blood of the Lamb of God. Pray with me right now. Father in heaven, you love me so much. You want to forgive me and clear my records. Lord, I received your forgiveness, which was done by your Son Jesus Christ. The eternal redemption, the blood of Jesus Christ, that poured on the altar in heaven. Once for all, for my redemption. Father, thank you so much. May Jesus Christ dwell in my heart. I become a temple of God. And I want to serve you all the days of my life. I proclaim to angels in the heavenlies. I proclaim to all the people in this room. I proclaim to the principality and authorities in heaven that my sin are forgiven and washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I receive this forgiveness by faith. Father in heaven, from now on, I will be closer to you. I will pray to you directly. I will depend on you every single day. Please fill my life with your presence. The veil has been torn on that day, and the Spirit of God came out from the most holy place to live on the inside of me. From now on, I'm going to speak to the inside person of me. That is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, my precious God, who lives inside my spirit, lead me, guide me. Show me the way. I will surrender to you. I listen to your voice. You are my shepherd, and I am your sheep. I will approach you every single day. You say in the Bible, Lord, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you, to me. So I draw near to you who in the inside of me. Precious Holy Spirit, I draw near to the inside, the person, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. From now on, I have faith that I have authority and power over the enemy. I will rise up in my spirit and command the devil to go away from my life, from my family, from my job, my finances, my bank account, my health. You must go away, devil. I submit to God, and you must flee away from me. I have no business to live a life of fear, of misery, and defeat. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's give the mighty hand to praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Let us sing a song together to close this service. Amen. We can leave. We can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's stand up and sing this song together. Because He leave. Hallelujah. His Son Jesus came to earth, heal and forgive.
Thank you, Lord.
To buy my pardon.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for your presence this morning. I believe, Father, that you bless everyone in this room. You bless their physical body, their health. You bless their family, their work, their business. You put your mighty hand upon them. Lord, all the blessing and the promises of Abraham belong to them because they are children of Abraham by faith, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, I command that no sickness and disease shall be in this house at all. Everyone will stay healthy, live a long, long life to proclaim the works of the Lord. Father, I bless them indeed. Lord, their children will grow up in revival, in the fire of God. Lord, those who are in debt, the debt will be resolved very fast in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I pray, Lord.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.